about you guys, but I, for the first time, had to like fucking patch a big ass thing of drywall in my ceiling. We had like two semi leak things, and in order to save money, Christine said, "Don't fix it." After the guy just cut big fucking holes in our ceiling, so I don't even know if this saved us any money. But I got like the drywall shit, and then I had to go and fix it. And one looks great. The thing's upside down. Like there's a, supposed to be a surface right for drywall. I flipped it upside down, but that one looks good. It's flush. It's okay. The other one is a fucking bitch because these guys have the pipe for the bathtub above, like touching the ceiling. So I had to do all this finagling shit. It's very much a pain, but
how'd you feel inside though?
It doesn't look right. I need to like
rebuild the wall.
I need to just keep taking more and more of this fucking ceiling off until I can make it flat again. It's like the fucking money pit.
I mean,
be screaming at my ceiling like fucking Tom Hanks.
Sometimes hard. You gotta take drywall and like cut the square out and replace it.
Yeah.
And just seal the
That's what line. I did. That's I put did. Like this tape and but it's like it's bumping, so like after you do that, you gotta like sand it, and I'm just gonna be like sanding this fucking thing forever, because it could never be level with the stupid pipe touching the one side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. I'm just gonna burn my house down and start over.
Just done with it.
Yeah, let's get a new house.
We don't need a ceiling.
Yeah,
just install a sunroof. There we go.
Yeah, in the basement.
Yeah.
What if you just like made it a garden? You know, like you somehow figured out how to make dirt stick upside down.
I could.
Well, they do that, right?
You could do that with like a net, right? And then you just kind of.
There's like dirt net.
And then there's also like plants that grow that way, right?
Yeah, like tomatoes. Just make like a garden of tomatoes for your whole ceiling, and then you could just pick one right off the vine and do a little munch.
Yeah, I can do that. Like an apple, you know, the hedonism bot, and just kind of like. At my ceiling.
That'd be awesome. I mean, you'd have to have lights down there, you know, so they would grow.
Well, it's near, like, one of the little basement windows. It gets pretty good sun, so.
Oh, yeah.
I think this could work. I set up a couple mirrors, like Fifth Element, so, like, the sun actually hits the plants. And
sees lights.
Yeah. 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 That'd be great.
That's my favorite thing. Whenever I walk into a room and it's dark, I'm just like, I see his light. And Christine's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I love how, I mean, Melissa, I quote things all the time. She has no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'll do it for, I mean, I think I quoted Futurama for years.
Yeah.
Just saying for no reasons. And she had no idea what I was talking about. And so I like, brought it up and showed her the episode where he's like, and I leave for no reason.
That's like my favorite episode.
Yeah,
Well, welcome to Script Prompt 2. This is episode 6, and it's a podcast where we come up with an original movie idea every episode by drawing creative prompts from a cup, and then we have to use those when coming up with the idea. So today is
My turn. Yeah.
How you feeling, bud?
I'm pretty lucky. I mean, I'm feeling pretty lucky, at least.
I think you're both.
You look lucky. All right, let's roll. Five.
All right.
Five slips Paul has to draw to determine what his...
Come on, Paul.
I'm going to shake him up.
That's good. Shake it real good.
Put it near the mic so the viewers at home can really
get the feel of the shake. All right. Dirty motel.
Dirty motel.
And character, a princess.
A princess.
And then we got a buddy. It's a genre is the buddy.
Oh, it's a buddy film.
Who's the princess's buddy? Is it a writer? Okay. And it's a time traveling casting director.
This is a character?
No.
I don't know what that is.
So I'm going to explain.
Okay.
So the idea behind a time traveling casting director means that the casting director, the person who picks the cast, can pick them from any point in time, dead or alive. I mean, if you want to cast, you know, someone who's young now as an 80-year-old, then that's fine. And they're already kind of doing this in film now with CG and everything. You got, like, you know, Carrie Fisher being, you know, 18 again. You have Grandma Tarkin being alive and, you know, all that stuff. So whatever you want. You could do a Boyhood and, like, make a movie where, like, you know, you have the same actor playing throughout the whole person's life.
Oh, my God. I can go through all the stages of Jerry O'Connell. From fat to hunk.
Exactly.
And back like, again.
And back again.
You know, anything you want to do.
All right. All right. So setting Dirty Motel, character princess, character writer, time traveling casting director, and the genre is buddy.
So that's like, you know, it could be buddy cop, it could be buddy, you know, anything, like a romance or whatever.
Buddy princess writer is what the buddy's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. No one's saying that those characters have to be separate characters either. The princess could be a writer.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think buddy movies typically follow the same formula as like a romance, like a rom-com, where, you know, you have them, you know, meeting, you have them becoming friends, you have them have some sort of falling out because someone did something shitty, then that person redeems themselves and they, you know, become friends again, right? So you think of Dumb and Dumber or I Love You Man or any of those type of things.
A lot of times they're kind of like road movies.
A lot of times, yeah, they're traveling, and a Dirty Motel can kind of play into that because they have to stop somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a big part of that genre is, you know, the characters start out longing for something or having some kind of void in their life. They set out on the road together to kind of find that. They run into some kind of inciting incident that is exciting, might not be related to that void, but through that, they kind of fulfill it by the end of the movie, right? So, like, Dumb and Dumber, they both feel empty. They don't have anyone. Like, I think Jim Carrey even says, like, I'm tired of not having anybody.
Yeah. Or not being anyone.
And then they go on this big, crazy thing. They live that out.
Their heads are falling off.
Yeah.
Heads are falling off.
Yeah. And then superficially, they live that way for a while. When they find the money, then they save the girl. And then they kind of realize at the end, you know, they had each other the whole time.
I have kind of a half-baked idea. What if, so again, the princess writer thing, it's all kind of, you can be creative with it. What if there are actors, or if there's an actor and a writer? The actor is like a, you know, girl actor, actress that all she can get is roles as Disney princesses, because that's an actual thing, right? That where they just play Disney princesses as for parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person, the writer, and they're traveling to L.A. to, you know, be something because they want to be somebody. How's that sound?
So when I hear the genre buddy, I know not for a lot of people, but for me, it always conjures up 48 Hours. You got Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy, and they fucking hate each other, but it's hilarious. Because they're constantly like digging at each other. One's a criminal, one's a cop, and you know, you have those opposites, and that's what kind of helps drive a lot of the buddy kind of movies, especially when it comes to like buddy cop movies and shit like that.
That's kind of like Bulletproof with Adam Sandler and Damon, Damon Wayans.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It's Damon? Yeah, I think it's Damon.
Yeah, it's one of them.
The older, the Damon Wayans Sr., the one that his son looks exactly like him, but. Now he's in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like thinking of a little bit of a darker kind of tone, but you guys seem to like a little bit happier, kind of like more Dumb and Dumber buddies.
I don't necessarily. I mean, I don't think that there is a tone there. It's just what they're being. And like, you know, what I was thinking could go in any you know, range of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they're ending up in some dirty motel somewhere, like, you know, who knows where it would go.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I was just kind of thinking of the premise, you know, to begin, but mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, it's your call on that, right?
Yeah.
Have an idea?
I mean, when I hear the characters of princess and writer, I kind of go back to thinking of a little bit more of a formal time. Maybe it's, you know, pre-World War I-ish kind of thing, almost like King's Speech kind of thing, where the writer is the writer of Queen Elizabeth's speeches after she becomes queen, you know?
Okay.
Which was after World War I. It's probably, you know, 50s or something like that. But they have some kind of like rapport or whatever. And I just want to put them in a scenario where they're solving crimes. That's where they become buds.
So you want to do more of like a crime buddy?
Yeah, like,
okay.
Like he's a writer and he wasn't always like the speech writer for the queen. He was, you know, he used to be like a journalist. And something happened where the queen got involved and possibly blackmailed. And her and him are kind of teaming up to solve this mystery. And she can't trust anyone else in the royal family. So she's got to team up with the one person who she knows didn't do it because they were together at the time of whatever said murder was going on. And, you know, solve this and figure out who in the royal family or, you know, whatever the rest of the people that take care of the royal family are called, you know, who murdered this one dude.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the royal family dynamics to comment.
No, but it's like a big thing right now. You got like the crown and all this shit coming out. Maybe it's like Princess Di right before she died. Oh.
Did Princess Di have a writer?
I'm sure she had some kind of writer. I don't know. She was like perfect lady.
I'm sure she had a writer, yeah.
I don't know. She probably had someone that wrote shit for her. Or maybe he's like writing a book about her. And then all that weird kind of like divorce shit was going on her death.
I definitely like the idea. Maybe not making it like based on real people. But yeah, I kind of like the idea.
But like vaguely kind of like set in the like mid-90s, so it's like though this is Princess Diana, but it's nothing to
but
do
it's
with
not,
her.
Yeah,
but she solves crime.
Princess something else.
Yeah, she solves crime.
But what if so what if they're, you know, it's Princess whatever and the mid-90s and there is someone writing a book about her, kind of you know, maybe it's biographical or maybe it's just someone who wants to write a book about her and he's like tagging along, and then they get into the situation where it's like a crime is put in front of them that they feel the necessity to solve, right? Yeah, that can make sense because then you're taking people that are completely just not equipped to do something and throwing them into the situation where they have to solve it. So why would they have to solve it? Is it both of them are implicated and they need to like...
I feel like someone was going to set up the princess, but the writer came in because he was like falling around starting, you know, that day to help write a book about her or whatever. And he got kind of accidentally thrown into the setup. So now it's like, oh, fuck, we're both kind of implicated in this. We need to both clear our names because we definitely didn't do this.
Yeah.
So that's when it becomes, you know, that they never would have gotten along because they're different like class groups or whatever, you know,
but you're getting a little bit like, what is it, swept away or overboard or
kind of,
but this is a buddy and not a romance.
Yeah, so it's not a romance. They're just gonna be buds. Like,
yeah.
And the thing is like when you do the, I mean, I never said the writer was a dude. So,
well, I think the, women, you know? Yeah.
And so this could just be a lady buddy, you know,
I mean, or you just play with the expectations.
Ladies could be writers too, man.
No, I know. You could just play with the expectations there where they are a man and a woman, but they just don't. I mean, because that's essentially a buddy movie and a romance movie are the same thing, except for they don't bone at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that, so we don't need to do that again. Well, yeah, I mean, because somehow this thing's going to get derailed into a Western.
Hear me out. What if
Liam Neeson walks in?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, obviously,
Dick is Liam huge.
Neeson should be in this movie. I mean, why wouldn't he be in this movie? That would be insane not to cast him.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're thinking they're solving a crime.
They're clearing their names.
There's a little, like, you get a little bit, like, film noir qualities in there where, like, they seem to be kind of set up for a crime that they didn't commit, and they have to solve it.
Yeah.
And I think that could work.
Yeah.
So what's the crime? Did someone...
It's definitely got to be murder. Because, like, yeah, why the fuck would the princess care?
Yeah, well, I mean, it could be... It could be Moira. Or it could be...
Pretty sure it's Moira.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's Moira.
If we're doing film noir, it's Moira.
Who
it's
got Moira murdered?
In time.
And why would they be implicated?
It's got to be, like... It's got to be the queen.
Queen was murdered.
Yeah.
And the king says, Princess Diana, you commoner plebeian bitch, I know you did it.
Well, I mean, what is the princess? And I would steer away from making this an alternative history movie, and we just make her like a princess, right?
Yeah.
Not adding... Or maybe, unless you really want to make like this fictional story about Princess Diana.
It's too loaded.
Yeah.
Too many people think the queen actually killed her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true.
Yeah. We don't want
from the source, the Sam Shank.
We don't want to go put their own out there.
With her own two hands.
It's the queen of Canada? No, that's still the queen of England.
Still the queen.
What's another place that has a queen? Denmark?
Probably.
Yeah, Denmark's got a queen. Well, if you did it like a long Denmark? Time ago, there was more.
Yeah. I mean, you could do, we could do Spain.
Yeah.
We could do high action in Portugal.
I was also kind of thinking like, maybe it's just my grandparents. They're like, oh yeah, my mom was a princess in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
But she came here and worked,
obviously,
in a barn.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's a situation like that.
I mean, if we're doing, we also got this... We can time travel our cast. So why don't we make this in Yugoslavia? So it's
late 80s.
So this is the movie's getting made in the late 80s. So let's kind of like go from
Soviet kind of standpoint. Was Yugoslavia Soviet in the 80s? I know they had the whole Kosovo thing, and I was too young to really remember.
Yeah. Or we can do just some like made up ass country, so it doesn't have even to be.
Yeah, country. It should be something like.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that way you can make up the rules of the politics without.
Without
and like being distracted by that because.
Hamsylvania.
Yeah, Fryna. Like a Fryna. France, China, Fryna.
All right.
Hamsylvania.
Mark Mothers, Bergvania.
All right. Okay. So the queen is murdered. The princess.
Where is she found dead?
Well, it's got to be in the...
In the palace, spa.
Royal palace.
In the yard.
In the palace courtyard.
In the garden.
Oh, it's got to be like in the... like the greenhouse, right?
Yeah.
They always have some kind of greenhouse so they can have fresh vegetables year-round. And that's like a special place for the queen and the princess. For when the princess was like a little kid, and
they shared a love of botany,
and like at the very end, you know, there's some kind of thing with like a special flower.
Yeah,
she used to like
maybe she's named after it,
or something like that.
Marigold,
like Princess Iris, or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Petunia.
What's another flower?
I mean, there's a bunch of flowers.
Rose.
But, I realize there's a bunch of flowers.
No, a good flower. Not that.
Hosta.
That'd be a weird.
Lavender.
Maple,
that's a tree.
Yep. Scallions.
Dandelion.
Well, it's like, it's got to be her name. And I don't want to do Rose. That's dumb.
Magnolia.
That's too long.
Are we getting Tulip.
The name? Tulip.
Petunia.
Pinecone. Daisy.
Daisy.
It was in front of us the whole time.
It was
right there.
Oh, so it's Daisy. Delilah, which is nice. Lily, Aster, Daisy.
Tell me about all the flowers you know, Chad.
Let's all right, let's go. Daisy. Princess Daisy.
Princess Daisy. All right. It's original.
I know you guys don't listen to sports radio, but there's this guy named Mike Francesca. He's like an old crazy radio host. And one time he just counted the 42 on air.
He just counted.
He's like trying to like, you know, tabulate something. He's like, let me see. 1, 2, 3. And he got to like 30. And you could tell he was like, oh shit. But then he just pressed on the 42.
Did he do it SMR?
He was more like 8, 9, 10.
Like he's having a hard time with the numbers.
Let me see. What's this one? 11. What's that? 12?
These are getting to the hard ones now.
33.
Yep.
So, Princess Daisy.
Princess Daisy.
Her mother. Princess Peach.
No, her mom's queen.
Queen Peach.
So I think you got to set it up a little bit. Maybe we'll get back to this of, you know, the writer and her and that relationship kind of like, you know, setting up in the beginning. But maybe we should just kind of sit down like the big ones, the beginning.
Right there. She's meeting the writer and they're walking around the house and she's telling stories. And then they get into the greenhouse. She's telling a story about her mom used to do whatever with some special plant there and told her why she loved the daisy so much and named her Daisy. And then they turn the corner and dead queen. And now they're like, oh fuck, what's going on? They call the royal guards and they're like, what did you do? You got like her blood all over you, because she's like, mom, and she picked her up, and then it's like, shit, and there was like a knife sticking out of her right. She's like, mom, are you alive? And she pulls it out and it's like, oh dude, it's like blood and like fingerprints all over the place. Yeah,
they've never seen,
well, she's a princess in
Discovery.
It's a princess in the 80s in,
yeah, they don't have cable.
Landia.
So is the and I don't want to skip to the end, but yeah, is the murder, maybe there's other evidence there that is intentionally framing her, right? Not just circumstantial. She found the body, which, like, if she's a princess and she has all this stuff going on because she's a princess, right? She has security, she has people around, she has people that are gonna know where she's at and what she's doing. Then it doesn't necessarily, like, I feel like she would have a pretty like rock solid alibi there, unless we come up with some things, you know, in place that were really intentionally set up to set her up. Like,
well, I mean, she's a teenager, right? Yeah. So she's been, you know,
maybe the
acting out
writer is writing about the queen and not her.
Oh,
because like writing a book about a teenager doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
I guess. Well, maybe she's like one of those, those fucking Kardashians or some shit where they're just famous for being famous.
I think they're socialites.
That's not a word.
Yeah, they are. If someone in the government, and I mean, like, this is a fake country, so like, what are the roles, right? Like, is there like a parliament? Is there a prince? Did the prince do it? Like, someone has to like actively frame her, right?
Maybe there's some kind of like falling out that's been going on with her. Maybe she's not like a teenager. Maybe she's kind of like mid late 20s.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if her mom's older.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, you know, more of like a big falling out. And she's like kind of like, there's some kind of thing. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but where you basically renounce your royalty, where you're not able to be part of the lineage or whatever. And she did that. And she's like, well, I don't want to be a part of this fucking royalty anymore. But she's still famous because she's, you know, still technically their only daughter or whatever.
Yeah, maybe she's the only heir. The father is already dead. She's the only one that can take over. And whatever the line of succession there would be, if she's not eligible to take over, then it would go to some sort of
goes like a cousin or something like that.
Or some other, you know, government. I mean, this is the '80s, right?
This isn't like, I'm sure we would go to some other kind of like aristocrat person that's like high up nobility or whatever.
Yeah, because if we're talking about murder, we gotta really have a good motive
there. Yeah, because if she renounces, like after or before her father dies, she renounced her royalty, and you can't like undo that. So she renounced her royalty thing. He dies, and then the queen is murdered. Then there's no one else besides the next dude in line, which is, you know, someone who's not a part of the family, but is still able to assume the, you know, the throne or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's got to be some kind of plan for that dude to die, because then that would be too easy, you know, if it was just like...
Oh, if it was just him?
Yeah, if it's just like, oh, I killed the queen, blame the princess, and then I am the king.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
can't really do that.
So, like, someone else has got to be pulling the strings to make this guy the king, or the king, after he becomes king, is so useless or powerless that someone else takes over or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that, like in Braveheart, you know, where the chicks, the dude who hates William Wallace is dying, and his son's a wimp, so the French chick goes and has sex with William Wallace so that, you know, he'll never have an heir that is his own to the throne, you know?
What if the guy that's next in succession actually didn't plan it?
Yeah.
Is just kind of a, you know, just red herring the whole time, and the person that actually planned it is like this underling of that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like an advisor to that person
that's what I'm thinking.
You know, planning it under the idea that once, you know, his superior is in power, he can like overthrow him or
yeah.
Someone
who doesn't have like the backing of the people, and then like that the guy that's working all this, you pulling all the strings, is doing it in order for another country to come in and take over and then rule that land or something like that, right?
Okay.
So they have to solve this whole kind of like mystery and figure it out, and all the plans and everything.
You get a little North by Northwest here.
Yeah, yeah. You know. I think he just goes super convoluted with this shit, and it just makes no sense why this guy is like actually doing it. Just so like, why are you making this guy the dude that's going to get overrun by this country? It's like, oh, my grandfather came from there or whatever, and I fucking hate this whole country, and I just implanted myself because I was mistreated as a kid by this one dude that was your dad. And it's like, it would make no sense. But because like, that's how, you know, shit was like in the 80s. Just like, well, okay, well, let's just make it super complicated for no reason.
All right, so I think we need to like refocus.
So is this an 80s movie, or it takes place in the
movie? No. We're saying this is made in the 80s. So date is 1988.
But the time period,
let's put that in the 70s, only like 10 years before. So it's 78.
So it's a princess
in the 70s. Yeah.
And the mom, the queen, is murdered. The king is already dead.
Yeah.
There's somebody in line for succession.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Somebody else did, because... Because
communism's still a thing in the 70s, right? Like, the Berlin Wall doesn't come down until late 80s.
But why would there be a queen?
Well, I mean, there's still a queen now, but, like, there's queen...
Well, the
king of Denmark and...
Yeah, but they were communist.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a made-up land. This is why we did the made-up part.
So there's this random kingdom in the middle of Soviet Russia.
Geopolitical issues to tell me about, like, the politics of Denmark.
Well, we can't make it, like, you know, overtly related to Russia, or else we might start fucking disappearing.
Oh, I mean,
they'll start killing off the actual crew to this thing.
That's true.
This is how we got on Russia's list, is this fucking podcast right here.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Putin's listening.
Putin. That's our
one Patreon subscriber.
Two subscribers. We got that Putin. Cat and Putin.
That would be great.
And he's livid.
Putin, I'm proud to have you as a Patreon subscriber.
Thank you.
I love you, Putin.
I mean, once Donald Trump finds out that Putin subscribed,
he'll probably do it too.
All right, we're up to three.
Yeah,
Trump.
Trump. We'll get on there.
All right.
I think we gotta get back to the buddy aspect of this. I think we've turned into a political thriller without any of the buddy.
Well, no, like
the
they buddy-isms. Become buddies through all this.
No, I know, but I think there's certain. I mean, we're talking about, which is the point of the card is we're directing it down a series of conventions that deal with the genre and we haven't really
not just that they're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, pal.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Like, they got to hit the road.
I don't necessarily think hitting the road is always, like, a thing, right? You look at some other kind of buddy movies, Starsky and Hutch, they're never going on a road trip. They're
in a car.
But they're going around town.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to happen with
they got to get to the motel.
Solving the thing. I think at some point, they're going to wind up in a dirty motel and discover the guy who's pulling the strings. Because he would have,
and he's in a motel.
He's like one of the Hiltons, right?
Well, what if
and he has one of his La Quinta Inn kind of like subsidiaries that he's like running this whole thing? Because so who would look,
Mr. La Quinta?
Yes, Mr. La Quinta.
What if what if part of the she just got blamed for her mother's murder, and what if she leaves town to kind of escape authorities because they're after her, and the writer somehow gets like sucked into that, right? And then they decide to find their way back to prove her innocence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to have an adventure together, right?
Yeah,
I think there needs to be an adventure, and it needs to. I think that. If you look at all the classic buddy movies, like all the ones that, we talked about, Dumb and Dumber and like, there really
Sideways.
Is that, mm-hmm. there really is that setup where they're friends or there's they're enemies the whole time and they slowly grow to like each other
mm-hmm.
or that they're friends. Something happens.
Yeah.
They break up and then one of them does this, crazy, feat of, friendliness that brings it all back together, right?
Yeah, like the primary thing there should be the friendship.
Yeah.
Should be one of the main points.
And I think because these people just kind of met and they haven't really gotten along, it's going to be one of those things where they're kind of at odds. One kind of being from the streets, one being former royalty, and like over time they kind of become friends. So it's going to be that initial clash that turns into friendship. That's where the buddy part comes in, as opposed to them they're already being friends and then going apart and they coming back together. So this is the other kind of like buddy movie where it's like opposites attracting and then finding an understanding.
Yeah.
When they solve it at the dirty motel.
Well, I think there has to be like they are fighting the whole time. They're at ends, and then something happens where the other one, like Emperor's New Groove, right? Like mm-hmm. they hate each other the whole time, and then over the course of the thing, John Goodman's character is so giving and like nice that over time David Spade learns to like him, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can do a very similar thing here where and actually, I mean, if you go back to like what you're talking about, very similar to Emperor's New Groove. He he got kicked out of his kingdom. He's trying to make his way back. He's trying to, get back what is his. He has this person he doesn't like with him that's he sees as dragging him back.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that person is the reason why he's able to succeed, right? So reverse that. You have this woman or this princess who, gets framed for murder, kicked out of the kingdom, and then, makes her way back to take what is hers with the help of this writer who she, is completely just like fed up with. Yeah, that was some pretty gross ASMR.
that was one of the cats.
Yeah.
That definitely wasn't a human.
It was a cat fart. But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that's a good direction to go. Like, that's a cool premise, and then the buddy stuff happens, and through that they they figure out the true murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
The killer in a dirty motel.
Yeah. So I'm putting Princess as... I'm going to go Julia Roberts. Because she was kind of like that princessy kind of character.
What?
In that late 80s kind of time. What's up?
So you're saying late 80s, Julia Roberts?
Yeah, yeah. Because this is all, you know,
yeah.
That same kind of like time period that she's doing, you know, Pelican Brief, Sleeping with the Enemy, and Pretty Woman, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like that right kind of age for the princess that's rebellious and still can be like, you know, no kissing, but I'm a prostitute, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So Princess. Yeah,
I mean.
And writer. So I want to do a woman because I want this to be a lady buddy movie. And I don't want any of that romance kind of shit going on unless she's a lesbian and they're both cool with that, you know.
I think then it bleeds into it being a romance and it's not a buddy film anymore. So
it's just two people. It's just two friends hanging out.
They're just two friends. Yeah, it could be a guy and a girl or a girl and girl or whatever.
I like the girl and girl kind of thing. Let's do some.
I mean, it could be in a guy and a guy, but like, I don't know if we want to get into
two robots,
guy princess, lady
dude princess. I'm gonna go with Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster, Julia Roberts, buddy movie. I feel like that's going to have the star power to get this thing made and work and have the dramatic draw that you want from someone who can be, you know, kind of a rough and tumble street person and then the super prissy princess.
Okay. Who's the queen who was murdered?
The queen that was murdered?
Fiona Lula.
I think that's very clearly needs to be Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench.
She can do it all.
She can do it all. I just want to use her for everything. She's the greatest. We got to go with someone who can be a Julia Roberts' mom in the 80s.
It can be anyone of any age at any point, right?
What about Oprah?
That's true. I could bring any age because I got the time travel.
Yeah, any age, any point. Okay. So it could be someone now, it could be someone, you know.
Let's do current Susan Sarandon as Julia Roberts' mom.
Like
because they both have the curly hair. Yeah. But like the 80s Julia Roberts, so she's younger. So it's not exactly stepmom. But it's still got that kind of a deal where they look like they could be related.
Yeah.
With enough, you put that extra 15 years between them.
Yep.
And then in the works.
Okay. So, yeah, Julia Roberts and what's her name?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster.
But she has to be in, like, I guess we're shooting. This is 19. This is 89.
88, 89.
So that's an appropriate Jodie Foster in her mid 20s, I guess.
Yeah.
Teenage Foster. You could probably do a little bit
older. So, because like Jodie Foster in 92 was doing Silence of the Lambs. She looked pretty young then.
Let's
do like Panic Room Jodie Foster.
Yeah, I mean, I would even be fine with, you know, Silence of the Lambs Jodie Foster, but I'd make her look a little bit older because she's a writer and she's
a little bit more seasoned. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they find Susan Sarandon's dead body.
Yes.
And they are somehow, you know, the police are convinced that
so like the Julia detective Roberts, that's like trying to get
him. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I always wished that there was more of the National Treasure version of Harvey Keitel.
Okay,
his like FBI agent that is like really good. I'm like, I want to see more movies with just him being that guy because it's very close to that wolf character that he does in Pulp Fiction. And I'm just like, why don't we just have him being cops more often? So let's do a Harvey Keitel as the detective that's hunting them down. And the, you know, the guy, which I think should be kind of a red herring, is going to be Peter Sarsgaard. You see him in a movie. He's always the fucking guy that flips and betrays everyone. And if you put him in that position and it doesn't happen to be him, then he's going to play against type.
Okay. So let's have him be the kind of red herring of the dude that would be next in succession. Mm-hmm. But the actual guy pulling all the strings, he's got to be a little bit more muted, a little bit older, but not too high profile of like a person that would draw your attention to think, oh, he's the guy who did it. So I'm going to go with Elias Koteas, Casey Jones from Ninja Turtles. No?
Yeah.
If you look him up,
is it, are you talking about the original movie or the new one?
The original.
The original.
Yeah. And if you look him up in Zodiac, he's got that kind of...
what's his name?
Elias Koteas. He is...
I do not know this man.
He played Casey Jones in Ninja Turtles.
Here, let me find a good picture of him. Yeah. Why is it all these like weird Chicago PD? No one knows him from Chicago PD.
The people who watch Chicago PD know him.
Who the hell watches Chicago PD?
I'm not sure. I didn't even know it was a show. I thought they had a Chicago Fire. Is this like a spinoff?
I don't know. They were running out of cities and they needed a
Chicago PD, Chicago Fire.
No, I get that. Are they in the same cinematic universe as one?
No, I don't think. Are they going to have Chicago? They don't do like, that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any like
the Law and Order cinematic universe.
Like, yeah, CSI has like 20 different shows. They're
the
all
CSI. Like, they that does because they do have crossovers.
They do it all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I really hate those shows.
They're like but. Shit. We gotta call up Gil Grissom. Too much for the boys at the lab.
All right. Well, while we are trying to figure out who Casey Jones is,
I looked him up. I don't know the man.
Okay, that's fine. I think that we really need to get back to discussing the plot of the movie. Like, okay. who? I mean, it's nice to have names to refer to, but like we have a very vague.
Sorry, I know very random people.
No, that's fine.
Good.
So. Julia Roberts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
Elias Koteas.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Elias. Koteas.
Julia Roberts is framed for murder.
That's Casey Jones with the long hair. There we go. Look at that stud. It's just... He's like
I'm there.
He's like the old dude from Backstreet Boys. Maybe it's just the old dude from Backstreet Boys.
That's fine.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Kevin Old Guy.
Kevin Old
Kevin,
Guy.
Kevin Boys.
Kevin Backstreet.
Yeah. Pretty sure they're all their last names are Boys. But why would they name themselves that?
I don't.
Last name Boys. Kevin Boys. And they're from the Backstreet.
Aaron Boys. Other guy Boys.
Was it Aaron? I thought. I don't know. I don't know anything about Backstreet Boys. I was.
I know they're back, all right.
Yeah, they probably are. I don't know. What to, I mean, I'm,
you got to do a sound alike, or else we'll get sued by someone.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I'm not entirely sure which one Justin Timberlake was in.
He's in NSYNC.
NSYNC. See, I don't know.
NSYNC.
See, they were NSYNC.
NSYNC's.
He was in the sync.
They were all NSYNC.
Okay, so. All
right.
She gets framed for murder.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked out.
But she escapes. She gets out, right? She doesn't want to get arrested. Yeah. She's afraid. And maybe the writer tags along because the writer's like, shit, this is a story, right? Like, mm-hmm. I gotta write this, oh, right? Yeah. And so then what's happened? Do they kind of go on the lam and like hide out in the city and just kind of like dodge police for a little while?
Well, yeah, they have to get the princess in disguise because she would be recognized anywhere on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Getting a little Aladdin. Mm-hmm. Gotta put
a little bit more Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire, okay. Just full on prosthetics.
Yeah. So
and the prosthetic one is James Judy Dench.
There you go.
Yeah. She really can do it all.
Yeah, she really can. It's just amazing. She so can good. Play Julie Roberts. She's just a girl playing an old
playing
woman.
Playing another girl.
Dressed as a dame.
All right, then. So let's just break it down like a plot, right? So we got the inciting incident is the Moida.
The Moida,
and then she leaves. She goes on the run.
She got to get incognitus.
She gets some incognitus. Kind
of makeover.
And then they have to start working towards solving the crime, right? Because, or maybe she's given up. Maybe she's just like, I don't want any part of this. I'm just going to, my family's dead. I don't care.
I think the writer discovers something in his ratings or Jodie Foster's ratings. And Jodie Foster's like, I can help you out. And they're like, all right, let's hit the dirty motel.
Or maybe they're staying in a dirty motel. Maybe that's like
the base
of their operations, right?
So they're exploring.
And the writer is still really interested in this because she's writing a book, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe she does some, fact finding, like detective work a little bit. She starts interviewing some people and she gets like a nice tidbit about, the line of succession and what, and maybe she finds out that, something that would indicate that he had planned on becoming the leader prior to the death, right?
Yeah.
Something that really hints that, he knew something was happening.
There's some kind of interview in there where she learns that he's kind of looking for this to happen so he could become king. And then he talked about, what he would do or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's kind of like following up on these leads, bringing the princess along to kind of squeeze a little bit more information about some of these things without getting caught by, the Harvey Keitel MI6 guy going around, I guess, whatever fake agency we wanted to.
Royal Guard.
Yeah. The RBI, the Royal Bureau of Investigations.
that makes sense.
All the RBIs.
I'm
Harvey
Keitel.
There's got to be something where they try to prove that it was this guy, and they get some of the evidence, and it's like a little bit too easy for them to get it. But they're about to like reveal it over to the Harvey Keitel guy. He finally catches up with them right as they kind of find out this information, and they present it to him, and then like. They're thinking about it as they're giving it to him. Like, this is all too easy. But, Harvey Keitel has them kind of like locked up, and they slowly start to figure out that maybe it's not that guy. It's not Peter Sarsgaard. It's got to be someone else that's pulling the strings, but like, why? And then so they have to break out of prison or jail or holding or whatever with the RBI guy to go out and find more dirt on who's actually pulling the strings. And who's to really benefit from it. And they find out it's fucking Casey Jones and his merry men.
Okay.
And his super convoluted plan to have his old country take over this country. We got to have, an awesome soundtrack and cameos by Molly Ringwald. And
yeah,
the guy who does the fist at the end of The Breakfast Club, Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then the other Judge Reinhold.
John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put that G.
So
yeah.
Christian name.
How is this a buddy film?
Well, they're buddies as they're solving the crime, and once they kind of present this stuff, then the princess convinces the writer that it's not that easy, and they need to dig deeper and find out that it couldn't be Peter Sarsgaard. It's gotta be fucking Casey Jones, man. Something else going on. There's turtles in them streets.
I thought his name was Elias.
Elias Koteas. Casey Jones. Casey Jones Anthony.
Oh.
Casey Anthony.
There you go.
That's how she figures it out.
Yeah. It's just word names. Like, oh, wait a minute. You were Casey Jones.
What if
Jones?
It's like they have like Casey Jones spelled out on paper and they start moving the letters around? Like an anagram. And it says, he did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Even though those letters aren't the same at all.
I mean, we can make it super over top. It doesn't have to be, very dark. It can be mildly dark with this just bizarre shit going on at one point, and then it gets back to a normal movie, you know?
I'm not sure anything's normal about this movie.
What's the soundtrack like?
Oh, dude, this could be fucking awesome. Like, Tears for Fears and The Cure.
Oh, so all pop?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of that 80s pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Psychedelic Furs and...
You got a fog machine?
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I think this is a pretty solid movie. I mean, yeah, it would take me a long ass time to figure out what the fuck, how this all makes sense. But we got the broad strokes there. I think this is a solid 80s flick. Something I would watch again.
I think that we need to have the kind of falling out between the two characters that really defines the buddy thing. And what is that?
Oh, so when they finally turn themselves into Harvey Keitel, the princess is like, it's definitely not this guy. I feel like this is too easy and it couldn't be him because of this. And the writer doesn't believe her. So the princess breaks the fuck out alone and she starts doing all this shit to try to like get some proof. And right as she's about to get caught, like, you know, she's spying on Casey Jones, Elias Koteas, and she's spying on him. And right as she's about to get like fucking caught by one of his goons, the writer shows up. He's like, I believe it, girl. And she just like drops a gun. He's like, safety's off.
just shooting everybody.
Safety's off.
So now they're not getting arrested for murdering the queen, but they're definitely getting arrested for murdering everybody else.
Fuck. It's very 80s.
Yeah, It's just the queen. The only time they care about murder.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they won't care about fucking
Casey
Jones' goons. They don't care about the Foot Clan at all.
I mean, like, the benefit of making your own government is that the legalities of it all are just kind of, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you really don't even need to have a consistent set of rules because, like...
Well, you're technically a diplomat, so you're immune...
Oh, okay. I remember that. Lethal Weapon too. You just go and shoot people.
Diplomatic immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Got writer, genre, princess.
You got Dirty Motel, princess, writer, time traveling cast.
Check.
And the buddy.
It's five checks.
Yep.
Checking them all.
Sounds like an A+, bud.
I think I got it.
Awesome.
Cool. Let's wrap it up.
Title. We need a title.
Title?
We can't wrap it up yet.
Oh, shit. Title.
We need to title this thing. And you can't say untitled. That just doesn't work.
Well, no. It's coming up with a good title for this.
That's half the fun.
Let's, Blood. I like that. Royal Blood sounds pretty cool. That was better than what I was going to say.
It takes one to kill, but two to be buds.
Let's go. Queens over kings. Boom. Throw some kind of like fucking playing cards with like a king with a bullet hole in them and then a queen over her. What? Because it's all about chicks, right? The king's already dead.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's
he wasn't even in the
queens
movie.
And the ladies and the writers and the princesses.
I think we should have Sean Connery just appear in a picture of the king, right?
he's the dead king.
Just like he's just a cameo as a dead king.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or like they could have a funeral at the beginning of the movie or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like him from like, he appeared like in a cameo at the end of like First Night as the king like away and he came back. And like I'm picturing like that early 90s, you know the Last Crusade kind of
That's what I was saying. Early 90s Last Crusade.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
and I think he should have top billing, but then only appear as a corpse.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. No, that doesn't make sense. I mean, like, he's time traveling. So it's the last movie. There could be,
like, one flashback scene or something like that. That kind of jogs from memory or something. Okay. For some kind of, like, tidbit or something, you know?
Yeah. All right. I was just thinking it's Sean Connery's last movie ever.
Yeah.
And he just plays a corpse.
I don't understand the role.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
They asked him to do The Matrix, and he turned it down because he didn't understand the movie.
In fairness.
No, I
don't. Most people don't.
Yeah.
I agree.
Who the fuck is Neo? The one. What does that mean?
What the fuck is a computer?
That's it. It's over. Movie complete.
Yeah. Check us out on social, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Like, rate, review, subscribe to the show. And you can support us by going to patreon.com/scriptpromptu, where you can get early access to episodes and exclusive audio video content. We'd also like you to send in your ideas for the prompts we drew today. You can send that to podcast@scriptpromptu.com. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later.